Now this is on May 1st, 1928. That's the message of Jesus to us, Faustina. During Holy Hour today, I asked the Lord Jesus if he would deign to teach me about the spiritual life. Jesus answered me, "My daughter, faithfully live up to the words which I speak to you. Do not value any external thing too highly, even if it were to seem very precious to you. Let go of yourself and abide with me continually and trust everything to me and do nothing on your own, and you will always have great freedom of spirit. No circumstances or events will ever be able to upset you. Set little store on what people say. Let everyone judge you as they like. Do not make excuses for yourself. It will do you no harm. Give away everything at the first sign of a demand, even if they were the most necessary things. Do not ask for anything without consulting me. Allow them to take away even what is due you: respect, your good name. Let your spirit rise above all that, and so set free from everything. Rest close to my heart, not allowing your peace to be disturbed by anything. My pupil, consider the words which I have spoken to you." It's beautiful. Just only Jesus. Everything external things, secondary. The unique thing, you'll be one with the Lord. That's your peace. Even people might criticize you, judge you. What a big deal. "Oh my love, my eternal master, how good it is to obey. Because when obedience infuses the soul, it brings with it power and strength to act. Today I saw the crucified Lord Jesus. Precious pearls and diamonds were pouring forth from the wounds in his heart. I saw how a multitude of souls was gathering these gifts. But there was one soul who was closest to his heart, and she, knowing the greatness of these gifts, was gathering them with liberality, not only for herself, but for others as well. The Savior said to me, 'Behold, the treasures of grace that flow down upon souls, but not all souls know how to take advantage of my generosity.' Today the Lord said to me, 'My daughter, look into my merciful heart and reflect its compassion in your own heart and in your deeds, so that you who proclaim my mercy to the world may yourself be aflame with it.'" On 8th May 1938, "Today I saw two enormous pillars implanted in the ground. I had implanted one of them, and a certain person, SM, the other. We had done so with unheard of effort, much fatigue and difficulty, and when I had implanted the pillar, I myself wondered where such extraordinary strength and had come from. And I recognized that I had not done this by my own strength, but with the power which came from above. These two pillars were close to each other in the area of the image. And I saw the image raised up very high and hanging from these two pillars. In an instant, there stood a great temple, supported both from within and from without, upon these two pillars. I saw a hand finishing the temple, but I did not see the person. There was a great multitude of people inside and outside the temple, and the torrents issuing from the compassionate heart of Jesus were flowing down upon everyone. After Holy Communion today, Jesus said, "My daughter, give me souls. Know that it is your mission to win souls for me by prayer and sacrifice, and by encouraging them to trust in my mercy. Oh, how greatly I desire the glory of your mercy for me, bitterness and suffering. When I see the glory of your mercy, I am immeasurably happy that all disgrace, humiliation, and abasement come down upon me, as long as the glory and praise of your mercy resounds everywhere. That's all that matters." The Tantra meditation, the Creator and the Creature. I adore you, Lord and Creator, hidden in the Blessed Sacrament. I adore you for all the works of your hands that reveals to me so much wisdom, goodness, and mercy, O Lord. You have spread so much beauty over the earth, and it tells me about your beauty, even though these beautiful things are but a faint reflection of you. Incomprehensible beauty. And although you have hidden yourself and concealed your beauty, my eye, enlightened by faith, reaches you, and my soul recognizes its Creator, its highest good. My heart is completely immersed in prayer of adoration. My Lord and Creator, your goodness encourages me to converse with you. Your mercy abolishes the charms and separates the Creator from the creature. To converse with you, O Lord, is the delight of my heart. In you, I find everything that my heart could desire. Here, your light illuminates my mind, enabling it to know you more and more deeply. Here, streams of graces flow down upon my heart. Here, my soul draws eternal life. O my Lord and Creator, you alone, beyond all these things, give your own self to me and unite yourself intimately with your miserable creature. Here, without searching for words, our hearts understand each other. Here, no one is able to interrupt our conversation. What I talk to you about, Jesus, is our secret. Which creatures shall not know, and angels dare not ask about? These are secrets, acts of forgiveness, known only to Jesus and me. This is the mystery of his mercy, which embraces each soul separately. For this incomprehensible goodness of yours, I adore you, O Lord and Creator, with all my heart and all my soul. And although my worship is so little and poor, I'm at peace because I know that you know it is sincere, however inadequate. at this mind, adoration. We are not fit. We are inadequate. But Jesus knows us. If we feel free before Jesus. As I was writing the above words, I saw the Lord Jesus leaning over me. And he asked, "My daughter, what are you writing?" I answered, "I'm writing about you, Jesus, about your being hidden in the Blessed Sacrament, about your inconceivable love and mercy for people." And Jesus said, "Secretary of my most profound mystery, know that yours is an exclusive intimacy with me. Your task is to write down everything that I make known to you about my mercy. For the benefit of those who, by reading these things, will be comforted in their souls and with the courage to approach me." You know, Jesus, through the words of Faustina, make you and me more courage to approach Jesus. "I therefore want you to devote all your free moments to write." Then Faustina says, "But O Lord, shall I always have a moment, at least a brief one, in which to write?" And Jesus answered, "It is not for you to think about that. Only do as much as you can, and I will always arrange things so that you will easily be able to do what I ask of you. If it's the will of God, you have all the time. Jesus will provide all the chances for you to do the right thing at the right time. Don't worry. Jesus will provide." Today I was visited by a certain lay person who has caused me a lot of sorrow and who has abused my goodness, telling many lies. At the first moment I saw her, the blood froze in my veins, because there stood before my eye all that I had to suffer because of her. Although with one word I could not have freed myself of them all. And the thoughts came to me to tell her the truth firmly and immediately. But at the same time, the mercy of God came before my eye, and I resolved to act toward her as Jesus would have acted in my place. I started to talk to her gently, and when she expressed the wish to talk to me alone, I then, in a very delicate manner, made known to her clearly the sad condition of her soul. I saw that she was deeply moved, though she was trying to hide this from me. At that point, a third person came in, and so our heart-to-heart talk came to an end. She asked me for a glass of water and for two other things, which I did willingly. However, had it not been for the grace of God, I would not have been able to act in such a way toward her. When they left, I thank God for the grace which has supported me during that time. Then I heard the words, "I am glad you behave like my true daughter. Be always merciful as I am merciful. Love everyone out of love for me, even your greatest enemies, so that my mercy may be fully reflected in your heart. O Christ, although much effort is required, all things can be done with your grace. I was feeling very well today and was glad that I would be able to make holy hour. But when I began to make the holy hour, my physical suffering intensified, so that I was not able to pray. When the holy hour was over, my sufferings came to an end. And I complained to the Lord that I wanted to so much to steep myself in his sorrowful passion, but that my suffering had not allowed me to do so. Then Jesus said, "My daughter, know that if I allow you to feel and have a more profound knowledge of my sufferings, that is a grace for me. But when your mind is dimmed and your sufferings are great, it is then that you take an active part in my passion, and I conforming you more fully to myself. It is your task to submit yourself to my will at such times more than at others. I often attend upon the dying and through entreaties obtain for them trust in God's mercy, and I implore God for an abundance of divine grace, which is always victorious. God's mercy sometimes touches the sinner at the last moment in a wondrous and mysterious way. Outwardly, it seems as if everything were lost, but it's not so. The soul, illuminated by ray of God's powerful final grace, turns to God at the last moment with such a power of love that in an instant it receives from grace from God forgiveness of sin and punishment. While outwardly it shows no sign either of repentance or contrition, because souls at that stage no longer react to external things, or how beyond comprehension is God's mercy. But horror, they are also souls who voluntarily and consciously reject and scorn this grace. Although a person is at the point of death, the merciful God gives the soul the interior vivid movement, so that if the soul is willing, it has the possibility to returning to God, but sometimes the obduracy in soul is so great that consciously they chose hell. They make useless all the prayer that others offer to God for them, and even the effort of God Himself." You can see Jesus really wish everyone go to heaven. Only we choose to hell. This is not God's will. Absolutely not God's will. You say even the last one, that's very important when a dying person, even unconscious, say the chapel of divine mercy in front of this person. God, you say, you see, even though outwardly you cannot see the changes of the person, you cannot see even his contrite of a contrite heart. But with the grace of God, it helps the Lord. Only a person obstinately doesn't want to. So try, you know, first of all, for ourselves, try to be always ready.